Welcome to the Landmark Apostolic Church podcast. We hope that this message inspires you and brings impact to your life. Enjoy the message.
Romans 8, 26 through 28 says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for saints according to the will of God. And we know for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose." Amen. If you would leave that open, you're going to use that again here in a few moments. But if you would leave that open, set down next to you, why don't we go to the Lord in prayer for just a moment? Amen. Just ask him to have his way in the remainder of this service. Jesus, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, for your presence that is so tangible in this place. God, we ask that you would have your way, God, that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive you. Lord, we pray that you would edify, that you would change, that you would build up, God, that you would make us exactly who we are to be in you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. I'm always excited to get into the Word of God. I'm always excited to share the Word of God with others. But today, I'm extremely excited, and I hope to encourage and lift up this body that we love so much. And today, I want to give you some world-changing news. I want to give you the kind of word that if you adhere to, if you own, if you personify, not only will it touch your life, but it will truly change the world. So to start today, I have a few simple questions that I want to work through with you, if that's okay. What happens in our life, what happens to our spirit when we don't get what we want? Oftentimes, I would say that anger is accompanied in some scenarios when you don't get what you want. I would say that for some of us, the green bug of envy strikes when we see others have what we really want or get what we really want. Sometimes we want something so bad that it brings on an element of sadness in our life, that we are just without this thing that we really want. And if you need an example, find the nearest kid and take him to Walmart. And you walk down the toy aisle, and I promise you, you will experience one of these emotions. They will be angry. They will be sad. They will be jealous. They will feel something because they don't get what they want. Time out. Why, kids, why is it that you always want like the $400 Lego set? But when we don't get what we want, there's a negative response, yes? I think we can all agree on that. And so my next question to you today is, what happens when we don't get what we need? You see, there's a drastic difference between what we want and what we need. And so my mind immediately goes to weakness. Whenever I don't get what I need, I become weak. If I don't eat, my blood sugar drops. Anybody have that problem? If I don't get enough water, I'm dehydrated. I get headaches and I get weak. If I don't have the medication I need, sometimes it's literally the difference of life and death for people. If I don't have shelter, there's only so long I can make it in the rain. There's only so long I can make it in the cold. And so there's a drastic difference between what happens when we don't get what we want and when we don't get what we need. And I think there's a contrast that we have to make and understand that we can't live without the things that we need. It's one thing to want things. I want a new truck really bad, to the point that I say I need it. You know what? I need a truck like that. Anybody ever said that? You know what? That boat is exactly what I need. We've joked for years in our family that, you know, a sports car drives by, a truck drives by, a nice boat, nice house, whatever. That's what every pastor needs right there. That $100,000 boat that gets used 7 times a year, right? But we want it so bad that we confuse our desire of want for what we actually need in our life. And so as times progress, when we don't have what we need, we become weak, we become feeble in whatever way, whether it's spiritual, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical. Our needs are just so important to us because it literally brings us life. Without them, we cannot continue. And wants sometimes make us feel, make our lives more enjoyable, but they also leave us longing for more. You see, I want the truck so I can pull the boat. But since I have a boat, I need all the fishing gear to go inside of it. And since I have all that, I might as well fish in some tournaments. And now I'm traveling to Texas to fish for big fish. And you understand where I'm going. There's always something more that can be wanted. There's always something for us to pursue. And on the flip side, if you wander through the desert for a while and someone gives you the water you need, it's amazing how fulfilled you immediately feel. You're like, you know what? I can just sit here for a while. I got my water. I got what I needed. Like, I'm just gonna chill. I'm just gonna relax. There's a difference. And I think that we can all agree today that meeting need is much more fulfilling and more important than meeting what we want. I today am a father and I'm a husband. And I love that. I'm proud of that. That's one of my greatest accomplishments in life. Nothing brings me greater joy than my family. And as a father, I enjoy giving my kids what they want. I can't always do it. I have to say no. But I enjoy giving my kids what they want. It's fun. It's fun to see their excitement. It's fun to see how they respond. But I really hang my hat on as a father, giving them what they need. That's what the Bible calls me to do. I'm a provider. I'm a protector to them. I give them not just what they want, but what they need. And so that's much more fulfilling. Why? Because weakness is found in the absence of what is needed. When we don't have what we need, whether it's food, whether it's water, whether it's shelter, it doesn't matter who you are now weaker. There's a reason why we fight battle from the high ground. Why? Because it eliminates the angle of attack. When you have what you need, everything else becomes manageable, okay? And so today, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. I'm here to encourage, and I plan to do that, but I do have to set the scene or set the table, if you will. As you look around today, I think it's no secret how demoralizing life can be. I dwell on the state of the world sometimes we live in, and I have to check myself and I have to pray, because if I allow the media to, it will wreck my day. There's that much negative. Some say the world is different. Some say the world is evil. Some say it's dark. But really what has become clear to me in today's age and time is our world is weak. They're without what they need. They have these wants that propel them to act a certain way and lead them to more and more and more, but they don't have what they need, and so we are weak. We now have generations of people who have grown absent from the presence of God, and so we're weaker. We are led by people who rather sell their soul to the highest bidder than do what's right, and so our society is getting weaker. We see depression and anxiety and suicide, all because we feel alone, because we don't have a relationship with God in which we truly need. Wars are being fought because there's no peace present in our spirits. Confusion in our biological identity. Why? Because we don't have what we need. And so today I can go on and on, but it really comes down to the fact that our society has been one that has chased our wants and fleshly desires to the point where there is so much sadness and anger and strife and jealousy and confusion and so on. You understand where I'm going today. The weakness has caught up with us because we've been driven by our wants instead of focusing on our needs. How many times do we get annoyed with people who say, you know what you really need? You know what you really need to do? I love you enough to tell you the truth. Don't say that to me. Don't. And so I won't say it to you. I won't say, you know what you need to do? I won't say that. But I will tell you what needs to happen. How's that? This world needs a change. This world needs a change that has been long overdue. This world is so far removed from reality, it seems sometimes. But I've got some news. I've got some world-changing news for you today. I know what can conquer the weakness of our world. I know what conquers your weakness. I know what will bring you joy. I know what will bring you peace and security. I know what it is that we need. Brother Cody, would you put Romans 8:26 back on the up there for us? That first line, likewise, this Spirit helps us in our weakness. This Spirit helps us in our weakness. And so today, what this world needs is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The only thing that's going to conquer the weakness of the world that we see today, the only thing that's going to change your heart is an outpouring of God Almighty in your life. We need the Spirit more than we need anything else. We need a relationship with Jesus that overcomes everything else. We need to find ourselves sitting at a table, Brother Jones, with the one thing in all the world that actually has the power to change. We need the Spirit to help us in our weakness. We need God leading the way. That's the only way things change today. When we have the Spirit, the Bible says that it intercedes for us. That when we don't have words, we don't need them. When we don't know what to do, the Spirit takes over. 2 Corinthians 12 tells us that His power is made perfect in our weakness. In our weakness, He's made strong. So in a world full of weakness, full of the absence of power, full of the absence of what we need, you need God today. And so I've come to encourage, and I know so far maybe I'm not doing the best encouraging job. I'm just kind of setting the scene right now. We're going to get there, I promise. But I don't know necessarily what people are going through. I know some of you have known some of you for years, but I can't say I have a close enough relationship with almost anyone in this room at this point to read your mail. But I do know that my Savior is one who helps in weakness. And if you will meet Him here today at this altar, I believe that He will take over, that He will intercede. I believe that His power will be made perfect in your life. I believe that He will fill you with His Spirit and with His Word. And when that happens, you will find that He meets all of your needs, everything that you're in need of. John 6, 35 says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Here we are talking about setting a table or sitting at a table in the presence of the Lord. I wonder what's on that table. "I am the bread of life," He says. "Those who come to me will never hunger, will never thirst." My friend, you sit at the table and you will have everything that you need. Matthew 11, 28 and 30 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Anybody that could use some rest in the house this morning? Anyone ever just feel like you're just being pursued by the devil? That he might be, you know, roaming around like a lion, but it feels more like he's prowling like a lion, looking for you. There's rest in Him. There's rest in Jesus Christ today. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And so having said all that today, I think we can all agree that what we need is Jesus. In every situation, if we had more of Jesus, it would be better, yes. So can you imagine with me today what the world looks like if everyone had the Spirit in their life? Now, I know that seems far-fetched. How could everyone possibly experience the Spirit? We know how big the world is. There's not 7 billion plus people out there with the Holy Spirit in their life. Well, what if they did? What would this world look like? Can you imagine? Galatians 5, 16 through 23 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing things that you want to do." Want to do. "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under that law. Now the works of the flesh are evident in sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." What is he saying? People who do these things are weak. They're not strong enough to fight the good fight, as the Bible tells us to. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things, there is no law." So I ask you again, can you imagine what this world looks like if everyone has peace? If everyone has love, if everyone was kind, if everyone was full of the Spirit, the whole world would go from bad stuff and it would be replaced with love and joy and peace, the way God instructed and designed it to ultimately be. Let me ask you an even more personal question. Would your world be changed by the Spirit? It's one thing to summarize and say, wow, this world would be different. Would your world be different? Would your world be different if there was more of the Spirit? And so I told you I wanted to encourage you today, and so here it is. Here's the good news, the world-changing news. The news that changes your world, that changes the entire world, the Spirit that we talk about so freely this morning, the God who conquers all, the freedom from all of the bad, the answer to the whole world's problems, and as importantly to that, the answer to your problems, it is found right here in this room. That's the good news I have for you today. Your life's answer is right in front of you. You can leave here differently. You don't have to leave the same way you came in. You can leave with an answer to a problem that you've always had. You can leave with healing in your body. You can leave with the Spirit living on the inside of here, or inside of you, I'm sorry. But the answer is Jesus. And that answer is found right here. The answer is being consumed and drenched in His Spirit. And the atmosphere that we created just a few moments ago in our spirit is the kind of atmosphere where He lives and He dwells. The Bible tells us He inhabits the praises of His people. And so whenever we usher Him in, we bring Him into this place with the expectation that He changes us. And so I've come to tell you quite simply today that God can change your entire world. He can turn it upside down. He can answer every prayer. He can meet every need. He can demonstrate power like you've never imagined before. But it requires you receiving the Spirit on the inside of you. It requires you saying, I don't care about what I want. What I need is an infilling of the Spirit. What I need is Him on the inside. In the book of Acts, there was a group of people sitting around praying and waiting because Jesus told them to be there. Quite frankly, very similar to what we're doing today. They're sitting around, they're praying, they were just kind of basking in the goodness of God and waiting to see what it was that Jesus was going to do when He met them there. The Bible says that there was like a mighty wind and it filled the house where they were sitting and the Spirit fell on them like fire. It can happen. It's happened before. It can happen again. And so someone today has been tricked and someone has been led astray by flesh and a false narrative of this world. But the evidence is here. He is here. He will meet us here. And just like the book of Acts, we can experience the power greater than any other. And so today you are here. And that's good. I'm glad you're here. You're listening intently and you're looking for more. And that's even better. But there has to be a desire in our hearts for less want and more need. There has to be something inside of us that recognizes the only thing that can make a difference. I can't smooth talk my way out of this one. I can't write a check to cover this tab. I can't internalize until it just goes away and gets better. I can't hold on to this hurt and expect that something good will come of it. No, there has to be a desperation in our hearts that while He's here, I'm going to get what I need, and I'm going to change my life, which changes my world, because now I'm full of the Spirit, and that changes the entire world. And so I wonder today if there's anyone in the house that needs their joy back. I wonder if there's anybody that needs some peace in their life from a devil that just seems to pursue them. I wonder if there's anybody that's lost some patience over time with the promises of God. God told you something and it hasn't happened yet. And so you're just like, another week, I guess I'll go. I'm just talking real life stuff today. I've come to tell somebody that has been dealing with anxiety for far too long. Someone that's tired of holding on to the words of the world instead of the word of God. Anyone who needs a change in their life. My God supplies all your needs. My God is made perfect in your weakness. And that weakness is found in the absence of him. The Spirit of my God is world-changing. It affects everything. Sister Graham, would you come help me this morning? Verse 28 of the same passage from Romans says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." All things work for good for those who are called. So the Bible calls us, the Bible instructs us to follow him. But if that's not enough, consider this your call today. That if you will follow him, you are called according to his purpose. You are designed to be here. It's his plan. It's his purpose. He wants to work all things for your good. And I'm not up here, you know, the whole prosperity thing. No, I believe real life happens. I know. I live it too. I get flat tires. Okay? It happens. But he works all things good. And he does it with intention just for you. When we rely on him for our needs, we are also blessed with the wants. I got to tour the new facility that you all are remodeling on the edge of town yesterday. And I was so encouraged. I was so happy. Because what I saw was that a need was going to be met. I saw the big open room that will be the sanctuary. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's significantly larger than what they have now. We can get a lot of people in that. But what made my heart sing was realizing that not only a need was being met, but I saw some pretty lights in there. And I saw some paint going up in spots. And I know there's some doors on order. And I began to see things that, if we're honest, we can have church without. But because we've been faithful and because we pursued him, we're beginning to see the good things that follow because we're called and we're here on purpose. When we rely on him for our needs, we're also blessed with the wants. And so maybe today you come into this house and you've lived for the Lord for a long time and you're just like, you know what? I probably just really shouldn't ask. Like, I've got what I need. I'm relatively healthy. My bills are paid. What can I really ask God for in the house today? And my answer to you is that he says all things good. Every little thing. From the lighting to the light switches to the carpet to, it doesn't matter. All things good. He wants you to experience good. I remember as a child, and if you would stand with me today. I remember as a kid at Christmas time, my parents had a tradition. Some of you know this tradition already because I've spoke on it before, but we had a tradition in our family that on the first snowfall of every year prior to Christmas, we got what was called the snow present, which means my parents typically had presents wrapped under the tree by like the day after Thanksgiving. There was already stuff there. And so if it would snow and it would stick on the ground, it didn't matter if it was a dusting or if it was 6 inches. Like if it snowed and it stuck, if we can point to it and say it's there, we got to open a present early. It was so fun. And I remember like planning out which one you're going to pick. I remember so vividly some of the stuff I opened over the years and just being like, I picked you. I got to pick it, and this is what I ended up with. Sometimes I remember one time it was a blanket. And when you're 9 and you open a blanket, you're like, I remember a couple of times over the course of my life opening socks and just being like, thanks, Mom. My point today is that sometimes you get what you need. It doesn't mean the Lord doesn't want you to have what you want. And so the news I've come to share with you today is very simple. God is good. God works all things good. And he's come today into this place And he sent me to tell you with intention that he is made perfect in your weakness. That he is made stronger, the Bible says, because you are weak. And so as we draw this service to a close, I made you a promise that if you were sensitive to the word of God, I believe that he will change us. And so here's my plea, and here's what I've come to ask you to do today. I wonder if there's anybody in the house that is comfortable enough in the presence of God to show him your weakness. Show him the weakness. Show him the absence of him. That can stand here with closed eyes and open hands and say, Lord, I need more of you. It's not going to solve all my wants. Church, I won't get my truck necessarily just because I say I need it. But I do believe that he loves me and my needs will be met because he's working all things for my good. And so today, maybe you're in the house and you've never experienced the Spirit of God before in your life. I beg you, come to this altar today and give the Lord your weakness. Tell him, Lord, I didn't even know what I was missing. I didn't know you were the answer to all my problems, but here I am. And Lord, I'm sorry for excluding you. Would you dwell inside of me? Maybe you've denied God some access to your heart because you're withholding something from God that maybe it's too bad for you to express. Or maybe it's a safety blanket for you to have some element of control. God's made perfect in weakness. Let go. Let him work. Let him dwell in. And so if you're willing today, would you join me in this altar? Everybody who's willing, you don't have to be shy. You don't have to be timid. There's going to be a whole lot of people up here. I understand that there's a level of uncomfortability, if that's a word, that comes with letting things out of your control. Whenever you yield to God, it can be uncomfortable. And there's some of us today that have never experienced the infilling of the Spirit. And so therefore, the idea of that seems scary. And I understand. But I want to remind you that all things good. And then I want to draw you back to the scripture we started with today. Likewise, the Spirit brings help in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Sometimes we worry too much about what we're saying that we bypass the presence that's already there. And so I want to simplify this for us today. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. You do not have to beg him. You do not have to petition him to do something that he freely wants to do. What you need to do is you need to open your heart. You need to open your mouth. And you need to express to the Lord how bad you want him in your life. How bad you need him in your heart. And so with no more belaboring, with no more promptings from me, if you would all across this place, why don't you just lift your hands towards heaven?
Thank you for listening. Special thanks to those that give generously to this ministry. If you would like more information, please visit our website at landmarkapostolicchurch.net. But have a great day and God bless.